May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 673. When Jesus' gracious hand has touched our eyes and ears, oh, what a dreary land the wilderness appears. No healing balm springs from its dust, no cooling stream to quench the thirst. Hymn 673.
Thank you. let us read from the Word of God, the sixth chapter of Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Romans, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but to live unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those days, in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, Thou the great God, the living God, Thou who sittest on the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. O may we come before Thee now with all reverence and in godly fear. O we venture, Lord, to call upon Thee once more. Do grant us access, Lord. Do grant us that favour of coming in that new and living way, which, Lord, there was consecrated within the veil. Oh, we would look to Thee, O God, our Father in heaven. Oh, we know, Lord, we cannot approach Thee without the intercession of Christ. Oh, dear Lord, we pray. We might come plead in the precious name of Jesus, the name the Father loves to hear his children plead. Oh, we beg, Lord, each one of us together in a feeling of need to pray, Lord, if we feel it. We pray we may feel it. We might come together to the throne of grace. Lord, we believe part of our worship shall be in this way, and on this wise, Lord, known. O Lord, Thy people worship Thee in prayer. We've been reminded of it, Lord, in the prayer of our dear friend, how the dear woman came and worshipped Thee, saying, Lord, help me. O Lord, we beg here tonight, there may be many of us in such an exercise, to pray to Thee, our God Jehovah. O Lord, help me. O Lord, Thy help is so greatly needed. O Lord, as in the words of Thy dear, well-beloved Son, we feel it, Lord. Oh, we can do nothing, Lord, without Thee. Make haste, O God, make haste to come to our aid. Oh, do grant that grace and help in time of need. Lord, we beg for this, preacher and hearers alike. Oh, Lord, without Thee, we totally agree by grace. Without Thee, Lord, we can do nothing. Thou didst say without me to Thy disciples, without me ye can do nothing. Oh, we would humbly venture to acknowledge, we humbly trust we are disciples, called of God, called out of nature's darkness into Thy marvellous light. Oh, may we have the true witness as disciples blessed and favoured, following the Lord, following the Lamb. O Lord, we beg so favour souls here tonight. They may feel and know the blessedness of it, to be made by grace followers of the meek and lowly Jesus. Do suit Thy blessing, Lord, to each soul. Their burden, their exercise is for the good of souls. Thou hast given it to us, Lord, given us this exercise. We have in our heart much love and affection toward precious souls. O Lord, our exercise is that Thou wilt bless Thy people, Lord, feed them also, and lift them up forever, and make them manifest, Lord. Oh, we believe Thy first way of favour of making manifest Thy people is Thy quickening them into life, bringing them forth from the womb of the covenant, making them to know their solemn state and condition, making them to know and feel their need of salvation, their need to know an interest in the Saviour's blood. Lord, there are souls here tonight that thou hast brought into such an exercise. We feel the sureness of it, Lord, that thou dost give us. Oh, Lord, there are souls here. There are some, even the younger friends, who have been brought into exercise of soul need. We are confident of this. And our exercise and calling, Lord, is to preach thy word to them, that thou wouldst lead them on, that thou wouldst more and more establish them in the faith, that thou wouldst bless them with earnestness in prayer, pleading with thee, oh, for a blessing in thee. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me in thee. Oh, that thou wouldst so bless them, Lord. Enlarge their coast, keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Thou knowest how one of old was so led to pray. And Lord, is it not given to some of these dear souls here to be in such an exercise in that way? Oh Lord, as they are feeling after thee, as they are seeking thee, as they are seeking in this, the greatest importance of concern in their lives is, hear my never ceasing cry, give me Christ, or else I die. Who knoweth how we did feel it much in concluding this morning. Lord, how important, how great in importance such a cry is, and given to thy people, how they cry to thee in this, their great need, their distress, their concern. Oh, give me Christ, or else I die. Lord, we are confident there are souls here who know this exercise, who need thee in such earnestness they have, the feeling need of it, and the expression of it in prayer, and the exercise for it. Oh, so great it is, so great a need. Oh Lord, save or I perish. Oh Lord, Lord have mercy. Lord forgive. Oh Lord, do hear. Hear such prayer. We believe thou wilt. Hear that cry for thee, Lord. Hear the souls who so wait upon thee, who so look unto thee. Thou said, as we read this afternoon, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And O Lord, how one put it, dying sinner, look and live. Oh, we pray for this favour. Oh, that precious souls may know it, be in the earnest exercise of it, to seek thee, seek thy face. Oh, to seek and to be in thy time blessed, to be favoured to find, to be able to acknowledge, I found him whom my soul loveth. And oh, to acknowledge it and to make that affirmation, I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that bare me. And Lord, may the dear friends brought into that in thy time understand it and know it as relating to the church of God. Oh, God's children must bring in praise and honour and glory in way of testimony into the church of God, and acknowledge what thou hast done for their souls, how precious thou art to them. Oh Lord, this is my beloved, this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. O Lord, so cause it. Bring it to pass in thy time. Bless souls. Set them at gospel liberty. Grant them that blessedness of the favour of the special grant of heaven, of free pardon, full forgiveness. In thy time, dear Lord, bless dear souls, Lord. Let mine be blessed and led in wonder and amazement to praise thee for all the wonders of redeeming love. Oh, to know their interest in the Saviour's blood, my pardon signed, and peace with God. Lord, may there be those, as we feel there are, we pray thou wilt stir them up more and more in exercise, in earnestness for these high favours of thy grace. May they be brought, O Lord, thou hast said thou wilt bring thy people. Thou wilt draw them by thy love. Thou wilt draw them with the cords of a man. Jesus draws the chosen race, O Lord, unto thyself, unto thee, pleading for mercy. Lord, who knoweth all the way of thy wonderful working in precious souls, let thy work appear, Lord, unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. However it has rejoiced our heart in this past part of the year that so swiftly passed away, Lord, that thou hast given sweet and blessed signs following the preaching of the word, and Lord, where thou hast given even to thy servants and to one personally these wonderful signs following, how we've rejoiced when we could acknowledge with others of thy dear servants, and how we prove it as we read in John's Gospel, one is given to plant and another to water, and God giveth the increase, and Lord, the favour in the church of God of rejoicing together, whether we are of him that planteth or him that reapeth, we may rejoice together in that God has blessed a soul and brought in one. And oh, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. What a solemn, dangerous, treacherous place of standing it is to be one who needs no repentance. Oh, save us from that. Save us, Lord, from the rocks and shelves. Save us chiefly from ourselves. Oh, make us well, do our vileness to know. Keep us very, very low. Keep us, Lord, in that need of pleading, begging of thee for mercy, begging for help in time of need. Oh, bless souls, Lord, and get to thyself honour and glory. Lord, we believe thou hast a purpose so to bless souls, even souls here, for this purpose and in thy time to manifest them. Favour them, Lord. They might be those who testify of the love of Christ. There has been those, we bless thee for what thou hast done, who thou hast brought precious souls, and they've been able to testify of the wonders of thy grace, the wonders of redeeming love. And Lord, this is what we are about, this is what we are concerned for, here in thy house here, and the people here, the garden of thy grace here. This is what the dear deacons and little church are concerned for. Oh, and the ministers as they come, that thy work, Lord, may appear, that there might be those blessed and favoured, drawn by the love of Christ, set a gospel liberty, and as thou dost grant them these great favours, to be so given then to know the favour of testifying of it to thy glory, Lord. For what are we blessed for, in the full purpose of it, that God may be glorified, that God may have all the glory. Lord, as we seek these things, we seek, we trust with a single eye to thy glory, that thou will benefit souls and favour them, Lord. Oh, grant the seal of the Spirit to those that feel to need it, the seal of blood divine, that they may know their sins blotted out, put away forever. To know they are made clean, they are justified by faith in thee. Oh, Lord, grant it, we pray. May dear souls be earnest in exercise for those favours to know and taste redeeming love. Oh, to receive the atonement as the apostle is written in the earlier part of the book, Lord, the Epistle to the Romans. Lord, we do pray we might know and testify of it. We have received the atonement. May souls come before the church here to testify, oh, in the wonder of amazement of it, I have received Christ, received the atonement. I come to testify of his love and grace, to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. Point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. May this be so given here, Lord, again yet and again and again. Lord, we pray, favour thy people who may feel much to be in the depths of experience, Lord, in the dark days, the winter time, whatever it is according to thy holy will, Lord, they are in. Oh, do suit a blessing to each case tonight and feed thy people, Lord, bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, lift them up forever, we pray. Oh, Lord, we think of thy people who may be going through deep waters, where there is that is acknowledged much in the Psalms. Oh, the flood. The voice of the Lord is upon many waters. But oh, and now at times the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. But Lord, do lead such in these of the turmoil and the toiling and the rowing and the struggling. Lord, thou knowest all about it, and where Satan being a great foe and the conflict, Lord, the battle so hot and oh so terrible. Lord, thou knowest how thy people need much grace. Grace to help in such time of such need. Oh, thou wilt give grace, give thy people to see by faith what David did. The Lord is upon the flood. He sitteth upon the flood. He sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Lord, so give that favour in the eye of faith to behold thee, Lord, the glorious leader of the church, the one who's conquered sin and death and hell, who's gained the victory. Oh, may thy people be looking unto thee, trusting in thee, Lord, who hast gained the victory over sin and death and hell. We, by faith, may hang on to it, believe it, that we shall gain the poor at last, gain the victory through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Oh, do lead souls out into praise. They may be in the favour as the apostle was. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us. Grant us grace and exercise day by day to follow thee. Daily to take up our cross and follow thee. Let not the world arrest appear, Lord. Let us haste from all below. We are fast journeying on. O eternity before us. And who can say how nigh death is? O death and the grave, how dulsome theme they are, Lord. So solemn. And none can look the monster in the face. As Jesus stands between, as it were. Lord, oh, we pray, so grant thy favour tonight. Whatever each one of thy people is in, oh, suit thy blessing to them, Lord. Do them good. Do good unto Zion. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build there the walls of Jerusalem. Oh, we look for this here and in the little hills of Zion, those many we know and love. Oh, thou knowest how we have so many in our heart to pray for. Oh, Lord, we think of them tonight, those that gather in the evening hour of thy day. May thy presence blessedly be felt. Jesus in the midst, Jesus, oh, drawing nigh in that way, coming and saying, peace be unto you. We know we cannot have thy bodily presence, Lord, as thou didst walk this earth, and the record of thy being in the midst of thy disciples, but thy wonderful explaining, Lord, how thou wast sent the Holy Spirit in thy name from the Father. He shall not speak of himself, he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So we beg in this way we may know thy blessed presence, and oh, to know the favour of that blessedness of hearing of thee. The blessed favour of the voice of the Son of God. Oh, Lord, oh, we might see thy face by faith, hear thy holy sacred voice. Oh, like the sparrows. Oh, we might humbly testify his mouth is most sweet. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, that to speak of, to thy praise one to another. Oh, that we might truly know the favour. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So do come, dear Lord. Thou knowest we felt this morning we come short in prayer in the way that thou knowest, Lord, we are daily praying for many. We know and love in thy name and those that are afflicted and those that are in sorrow. Lord, thou knowest we think of those in sorrow at this time, and pray for them, Lord, that the comfort of thy love may be upholding them and surrounding them. Lord, they may feel the blessedness of that consolation where thou hast taken those home to glory. Oh, Lord, thou knowest we think of friends who have recently lost a dear father and leader in the family and in the cause of Gravesend. Be with those dear friends and bless them, Lord. And especially on the funeral day, Wednesday morning, if it be thy will, help thy dear beloved servant, our friend. And Lord, as we hope to gather with them, we pray, Lord, thy presence may be known there. And Lord, as we think of friends who are afflicted and who know if those we have been bearing up before thee for a long time now, who have long-term afflictions. Lord, thou knowest all about their cases. But oh, we pray that whether they be young or older, Lord, as some are, oh, thy sanctifying mercies may be blessedly known and proved, that thou dost from the affliction take the curse regarding thy dear people. This is thy purpose, we believe, for their soul's good. So we remember our friends. Oh, we beg thee now, come, Lord, now. Help us as we would turn to thy word. Thou knowest how we trust by the leading and exercise of the Spirit. We must again go to a part of thy word that we have preached from in the cause of truth here, some few years ago. Oh, we do pray thou wilt bless thy word, favour us as we are gathered around it here this night. May it be a blessed living, vital reality to us. We may live by it. We may live by faith upon the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Give this certainty of assurance, Lord. We may testify it. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 985. Oh, ye despairing sinners, hear. Ye thirsty, sin-sick souls, draw near. Here's water whose all-powerful stream shall quench your thirst and wash you clean. Its healing power has always wrought beyond the reach of human thought. Hymn 985.
Thank you.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you this evening to Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3 and the 10th verse. The epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Here in this epistle, friends, the dear Apostle Paul, he much expresses the importance of being found in Christ. And as in the near context here, he expresses it very much. He says how important it is to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul is ever so much concerned in all his epistles to speak lovingly and faithfully to the dear people who under his ministry and the ministry of the other apostles have been brought into the ways of God's grace as they have been effectually preaching and being used of God, and many have been converted unto Christ, and in the churches that they were instrumental in forming and then following up those forming of the churches, the epistles were written to the churches. And in much of the dialogue of the epistles, of the writings of the apostles, it was of course under the influence of the Holy Spirit they wrote. And much of it is an expressed desire and concern for those individual churches and the dear peoples of them, individual souls. But we come to this point in this epistle. Paul is very specific that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And I believe he is led in this way especially to emphasize that I may know him. It's a personal matter and will be made so with each one of God's people. Oh, friends, tonight, is this your earnest exercise and need and desire in your need, that I may know him? I believe what has been expressed in what we've just been singing is in the very sum and substance of it. You know how greatly a sinner needs to know her interest in the Saviour's blood, their pardon, sign, and peace with God. That is a sinner, is born of the Spirit, is brought into exercise by God according to his love and mercy toward them. God brings them into solemn concern and need, and they will want to know, they need to know, it's so important, I may know him. And I want to begin in this way tonight, the way of, if I may carefully, according to the way the Lord leads one, we may make clear emphasis on it, the importance of it. Oh, with you and me and each one of us here, as before God, you know, I feel I should say like Cornelius said, when they were gathered in his house, he said, we're all here present before God. And that's true tonight, friends. And may each of us lay this to heart. We're all here present before God, and our God, the living God's not a little G God. He's the holy, holy, holy God Jehovah. The God who created the world and universe. The God who controls everything. Who is above all, sits on the circle of the earth, as we often mention, the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers. But oh, he does condescend to men of low estate. He has a purpose to, and there are those he has chosen for his praise. He's formed a people for his praise. Now may it be given to us each solemnly to be in personal concern. Am I one of these characters who does really urgently need to know him, the Son of God? Oh, am I one whom God is making to truly feel the greatness of one's need and one's need for salvation? Oh, that I may know him. You see, the Apostle Paul, though he'd been so greatly favoured, he wasn't going on taking things for granted. He was in exercise so much. And here particularly, he comes in especially with such emphasis of personal exercise in his personal need. It was, of course, used of God in this part of the letter to the Philippians, but the very urgent expression of need he makes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Tonight, friends, if we are diligent in exercise under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it will be the same with you and with me, that I may know him. And there'll be those important questions, vital questions. Do I know him? Am I after Christ? Is he precious to me? Is he precious to me in the wonder of him? Do I begin to know? Some of you young souls, you put it in a way of question like this, to consider within your very heart and soul, am I being, by God, made to know Jesus is the one thing needful? I without him perish, master. Oh, that I may. And so has God given you real earnest need and desire that I may know him. That I may, personal, you see. You see, we may have many good friends, and God's people, some of them called to live together after God's holy ordinance in marriage, and in whatever way we are living together, going along together according to the cleanness and rightness of God's instructing us. I'm not wanting to deal with things that are not in that wholesome right way, but you know we help each other. We try to help each other, do things for each other. But regarding the things concerning our never-dying souls, we cannot help each other. It's so personal, so close. Oh, the reality of it is that I may know him. Oh, it is so important that we should seek that I may know him. Oh, the importance of him. Because a minister can't give you or help you. He may be used of God for your help, but whoever we are, we cannot do anything spiritually for each other. It's needing Christ. It's give me Christ or else I die. It's like we concluded this morning, hear my never ceasing cry. Give me Christ or else I die. And if you're brought under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, if God has made life and death so solemn to you, the realities of the truth of God are burned in your heart in a way to make you really consider, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? Heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood my only plea? Is he my grateful runner there? This is what you need, that I may know him, and I may know him as my Lord, my life, my all. I may know him as my Saviour, my dear Redeemer. Oh, how one puts it in the hymn, dear Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, come to my help, pronounce the word, bid my corruptions end. You want to know him in that way. Know him as your Saviour, your Redeemer, your Lord, your life, your all, that I may know him. And you know, there is a way in which the word know means love him. I may know the favour of his love. I may love him in return. I may know him. I may know him. Oh, but friends, do we? Let us carefully consider. Do we really know him? Do we really want to know him? Do we really need to know him? Friends, him. Him, the Son of God. Him who came and suffered the just for the unjust to bring his people to God, to bring, can we say, us to God. Oh, him that came to suffer, bleed and die. Him who took the dying traitor's place and suffered in his stead. For man, oh miracle of grace, for man, the Saviour bled. Do we need to know him? And how will you need to know him? You need to know him as your Lord, as your God, as your Saviour. It's so treacherous, friends, to be living presuming. You will dread presuming. I believe the teaching of the Spirit will be such, will be known in a way, in the experience of it, that the Lord by the Holy Spirit will never promote easy believing. He will never promote taking for granted. He will never promote any form of believing which is not sound and solid and good. No, the dear Holy Spirit, he sounds alarm in sinners' hearts. The preaching of the gospel must have an alarm in it. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm, and God says, in my holy mountain. Oh, it's so important, the need of poor souls. Oh, the need of salvation is so great for sinners. Oh, friends, we must sound an alarm that a religion that has not that vital grace of faith in it given of the Spirit, it's a false religion. A religion that does not put Jesus Christ on the throne is a false religion. The only religion God will own is that which, as it were, sets Jesus Christ upon the throne. You look up to him, and I may know him. I may know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour. He was given of the Father, who come to the earth and suffered in his people's room, place and stead. Him who, it is acknowledged in Isaiah's prophecy, oh, he came, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, as if we were, in a solemn way, in unregeneracy. And, you know, even it may have been even in some times of shame and the confusion of the subtlety of Satan working in us and getting hold of us, we may have even hid our faces from him. Even after we're cooled by grace, that is so very solemn. The Lord knows. He will convict and convince his people of all their sins. He will make them lay to heart what they are. He will convict. He will bring them to be convinced of their sins. And if you are convicted and convinced of your sin, you verily need the Saviour. And he will be being, by God made to you, more precious far than life and all its comforts are. He will. I believe I have a witness of this in my poor little profession, that he is so precious, more precious far than life and all its comforts are. My Lord is, depart from thee, 'tis death, 'tis more, 'tis endless really. Black despair, but oh, God's people shall not be allowed to depart from him. They will be seeking him. They will be seeking, as the apostle was, in the way he expresses it here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, that I may know him. So tonight, friends, I would put it in love and faithfulness to each one of you and to myself. Is this exercise in us? Is this our prayer? Is this our expressed need? What we are exercised for, that I may know him. I may know him. Oh, what you need. What we need is to be so given of the Holy Spirit, the confirming of it, that we do know him. You see, it will be like this, I believe, as the Spirit works in a soul, bring a soul to this point. You acknowledge it like this, to know my Jesus, crucified, by far excels all things beside. Now, if we, in a way of searching according to the leading of the Spirit, put that before you, some of you have got a lot of things that you have to rightly be involved in. And these things are very important to you, your daily lives and mine. But oh, to know my Jesus. Can we really, truly, honestly say it? To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. It must be brought to that. I believe the work and operation of the Holy Spirit will ever bring a soul whom God loves to that point. They have to be brought into that necessity of need to know my Jesus crucified. Oh, by far excels all things beside. If you are, and some of you young people, if you are concerned about some of the things you've been involved in, wondering whether you can continue in involvement in those things, I can only commend you to consider in the fear of God the importance, what is most important to you, friends. You know what is most important, if it is uncomfortable for you to continue in things you have naturally enjoyed. You know, if it's uncomfortable for you now that you are being taught of God and brought to know one thing is needful, oh, you must leave those things, leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in by faith into the blessed things of the gospel of God's grace, as God so favours you. Oh, you have to leave those things. Come ye from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty, that I may know him. You know, naturally to human nature, the cost of seeking the Lord, it will have to be under the sanctifying influence of the Spirit, which is God's sanctifying influence, is in God's highest purpose, for the purpose to separate out to himself a people for his praise. And when we're under this, in this that God is doing, as he works in his people to will and to do of his good pleasure, you know, we have to lose a lot, we have to leave a lot. But the importance is, the earnestness of it is, the need is, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, that is the greatest in importance, isn't it? When the dear Spirit is working and is teaching us, that I may know him. Poor friends, in the reality of considering it, you see, soul and all is at stake, isn't it? We are going on toward a never-ending eternity, where death and the grave are before us, an eternity, the judgment day. Oh, soul and all is at stake, isn't it? So that I may know him, This is the greatest importance, isn't it? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. There is a way in which God's people will acknowledge the resurrection power of Christ. Even in early experience, God raises them to life. Quickened and raised to life, God does that. We don't really understand it in the early days of the experience of it, or very little understanding. But God does it. He raises sinners to newness of life. They're quickened and made alive. I believe the apostle knew that. And he would be well able to acknowledge it and testify it. But I believe here, he especially is exercised. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, all the state of death that we have revealed to us. How we are in the ruins of the fall by nature, and how we have to be brought into experience of a living death as we are born again and alive by grace, but death within me, all about me. Oh, it is, because everything, the wages of sin is death, like we've read. The gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, all this is so deeply laid to heart as God is teaching his people. And how you need. You know you have so much of death in you and about you. So much it is. You cannot think one thought aright. You are unable to control emotions of your mind, and you've got so much of, which is so much of evidence of death. That's within me. All about me. Sin and death. Carrying about a body of sin and death. Here we have this great weight and burden. But if as by the Spirit we are favoured, this is what Paul's after. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It's the resurrection power of Christ. We can consider it in the way of it, in the record as it was with Lazarus. How the Lord spoke there to that dear sister when she was speaking. How the Lord spoke to her. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. How important this is, friends. Yes, that I may know him. Know an interest in the Saviour's blood. That is so great in importance. I cannot be saved without it. I cannot be saved without the favour of knowing an interest in the Saviour's blood. I need the precious blood applied. I need it. I need it again and again. I need to go to God as oft as sin assails thy soul. Turn thine eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing short of this can heal us, bring us peace and do us good. I need the atonement. I need to know him as my Lord, who suffered in my place, who bled and died for me, who shed his blood for me. And the power of his resurrection. The favour of knowing and believing. He has so done all things well, finished the work the Father gave him to do. He suffered, bled and died, but the third day he rose again. You see, the dear apostle was made an apostle, following on those other dear disciples who were apostles too. And how he needed to know, as they had witnessed, as he now in exercise the power of his resurrection. The resurrection had been witnessed by those who went to the tomb. The grave could not hold him. He burst the gates of death. He rose triumphant o'er the grave. I believe we must ever acknowledge, you know, the full and complete salvation Christ wrought was really fully sealed and signed and ratified especially by the resurrection. The grave could not hold him. He burst the gates of death. He gained the victory over the grave, or sin and death and hell. And so God's people can look to him, and as he gives faith to them, an exercise of faith to believe, oh, he's their great salvation. Jesus is our great salvation. He suffered, bled and died. He rose triumphant o'er the grave, brought in everlasting righteousness by the church. It was the resurrection that brought in everlasting righteousness in the bringing of it in. He lived his life to work the robe. He had completely fulfilled the law, but the seal on it, the full and complete seal of it, was the resurrection. He rose again for his people's justification, that his justifying royal robe of righteousness might be put on them, given them to be favoured to wear it. By faith it's given, applied to them. They are brought to believe in Christ, his whole, complete, finished work on her. Oh, he rose again for his people's justification, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Notice the word power. The power of his resurrection, yes. What you need to know is there's power in the blood of the Lamb, power to put away a Mary and a Manasseh's sins, and sins more vile than they. There's such a power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And oh, to know it when it's applied, it does us good. We feel the power, the peace-speaking power that comes with that application of the blood. Oh, the favour of it. Peace by his cross, as Jesus made. But the power of his resurrection. That, oh, we are brought to know that favour. Oh, he has so wrought our righteousness and completed the whole work by his glorious resurrection. The grave could never hold him. Oh, he rose triumphant o'er the grave. And his people can acknowledge, as the apostle did, as recorded in 1 Corinthians, oh, to acknowledge in thankfulness, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know your interest in the victory of Christ. You must know it. The way to know it, God will give it, is to know him and the power of his resurrection. That's the victory. That's the witness. The seal of victory. The victory o'er the grave. The victory o'er sin and death and hell. What he has done, completed, brought in for the church, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I believe there are deep and special ways in which God has appointed it, that his people shall know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I believe this is especially given to God's people to know under the sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit, when the Lord sanctifies them under whatever he has appointed them to go through, whatever he has appointed them to know and to bear and to suffer here on earth. They suffer, the hymn writer says, march on earth, strangers to the worldling's mirth, but they have an inward joy, pleasures which can never cloy. God's purpose to sanctify his people. I believe Paul is especially led into this in this way, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. We need to know this in some measure. It's most holy ground. It is, friends. But there are some of you here, some of you, dear souls here, you can give testimony. Just a little you will say. You won't want to presume or say more than you know. But there are some of you here. You can say. You have just entered into this a little. The fellowship of his sufferings. It is laid upon me that I must put it like this, in a way of question. Is there one or more here who have been brought into some, and you will say, small measure, out of reverence to God, to Christ, you will say, small measure, you have been brought into fellowship with Christ in some small measure in his sufferings, and you have not testified of it publicly. Paul was always wonderfully public with what he knew. His soul was set on fire with the love of Christ. He makes testimony of it. The love of Christ constraineth us. He set a wonderful example by grace in the way he testified of what the Lord had done for him. He desired more. He comes out in this way with all these expressions, holy, sacred expressions of his heartfelt desire and need, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I believe he had already known a little of the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. He wanted to know more. Is it not with God's people that they are led to make clear reference to this in this way of how they are in exercise? They are brought by grace to be made by God thankful for what he has already favoured them to know. And by the gracious exercise he maintains in them, they ask him for more. Be thankful for present, and then ask for more. And I believe Paul was in this, because I believe he had already known a little the sacred fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. You can go, I could go tonight, to places, spots of the record of it, what he acknowledged, where he was in such trouble and being dealt with so solemnly, and he could have given testimony of it, I believe, and did, how he suffered in at the hand of those, and God was sanctifying him for his good and also for the purpose of him being able to give testimony of it in the further ministry of the word, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. O God's people, some of you here, there's some of you who have testified of these things, of your experience, how sacred the favour, the privilege of it, to speak to God's glory, to testify to his praise, what he's done for thy soul, how he's blessed thee, how he's upheld thee, how he's brought thee through, how he has spared thy life, and for a purpose, that you may be to the praise of his grace. You know how the dear Lord speaks of it, we might be to the praise of his grace who first trusted in Christ. That's to the praise of God the Father, who first trusted in Christ, that we may be so then, in this way conformable to him, the Son of God, and to the praise of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his death. You know where we've read in the context, in that chapter in Romans, buried with him in baptism. Oh, here we are then, so much accountable to live to his praise. God's purpose is for his people, He does so, he does do so much for them, in them, favouring them, blessing them. He has formed them a people for his praise, and God has a perfect right to be looking for the appearing of this in his people, in their profession, in their lives. God's people are saved by grace. There's nothing of any merit of the people of God towards salvation. They are saved by grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created of God under good works, and for the purpose of God's praise, and to bear the fruits of the Spirit, show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. And oh, Paul, he did from his very heart of hearts, he did desire, was exercised, that he might be made conformable unto his death. Oh, what is this? I believe this is to be truly, blessedly favoured in that, buried with baptism into death and rising, the newness of life. Paul had walked this way, and he wanted more and more to be in this, to show forth the praises of him who hath called him out of darkness into his marvellous light. There's much to consider in this, and much of it is it's very deep. It's according to the way of the working of the Spirit in individual souls, how God has in his purpose, such a purpose to work in you and work in me, to will and to do of his good pleasure. But I believe the Lord will lead his people into true, pure desire. I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his death, conformable to follow him, to obey him, to take up one's cross and follow him, to deny self and take up one's cross as God gives the strength he's given, the strength and grace he gives, the enabling grace of God. Oh, God's people are blessed to deny self and take up the cross and follow the Lord, follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. There's a wonderful testimony of those that John saw. It is as a testimony as I see it. John saw them home in glory in that wonderful revelation, and it was acknowledged, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. He is so precious to them. He's their Lord, their life, their all. Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon. His track I see, and I'll pursue. The narrow way to him I view, made conformable, sanctified by the Spirit. The flesh crucified with the affections and lusts. Oh, the favour of being in the favour of holiness. Oh, under God's grace. Oh, kept by the power of God through faith and salvation. Oh, he'll keep us, the fear of the Lord in exile. Keep us from sinning. Prosper our ways is the beginning of wisdom and grace. And as God establishes a soul, leads them on, more and more deeply they are concerned for it, and to live to God's praise. Oh, God makes his people free, you see. Oh, by nature we are selfish. We've got self-esteem, self-praise. God must strip it away, and our esteem will be our real, holy, true, blessed esteem he gives us is of the Lord. He's our all and in all, and we want by grace to live to his praise. We do want by grace to deny self and take up the cross and follow him, to show the world who we love and who we serve that we have been with Jesus and learned of him. be made conformable unto his death. And that is set forth is tasted death, friends, for every man. And you know, in a way, in a wonderful way, clear way, according to the holy words of Christ himself, earlier on in his walk on earth, he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straight until it be accomplished? And oh, the reality of it was, he went right through. He went right through, as he said, he faces a flint toward Jerusalem, perfectly knowing he must suffer there inside the city wall, and that God the Father would lay on him the iniquity of the whole church of God, and he would have to suffer in that way, the weight of all the sins of the whole church in punishment for the church's sins. God's people to be brought into the wonder of favour of it, of the wonders of redeeming love. Oh, to know their interest in the Saviour's blood, their pardon signed and peace with God, and to know the fullness of the favour. Oh, as recorded in that way, the apostle wrote to the Ephesians, he says, brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, the favour of it, accepted as in the first chapter, in the beloved God the Father, accepts his people in his beloved Son. Friends, do you know these things? Now, considering it in all the wondrous aspects of it, the wondrous truths of favours of it, as made known by the teaching and blessing of the Holy Spirit, oh, what does God require of thee? To do good, to do justly, to walk humbly with thy God. That's what he requires of me. Those who have much forgiven, much is required, friends. Let us not be neglectful. Let us be made willing. May God make us willing in the day of his power, that we may testify of this. Oh, the favour of it. Some dear souls have a record that they can acknowledge in thankfulness to God of so many, many years, many changes God's people know. But I know of one or two in the churches that were called by grace very young. When the love of God was shed abroad in their heart, they in obedience to him followed him in his ways, took up their cross very early in their lives, really, comparatively. And they lived into old age. Some are still in the body who we can talk to, who were called when they were very young. And they've had a long life of pilgrimage, many changes, many dangers, many changes they have known, but have been upheld till now. And they would say, who could hold us up? But there the Lord, and he holds his people on their way. The righteous shall hold on their way. Oh, so if any of you fear, if you're in younger days and concerned and led to consider this and know something of what the apostle has in expressed desire here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and when God does bring you into the favour of these things, when he sets you at liberty, when he blesses you to know your pardon signed and peace with God, well, oh, he says, he desires to be made conformable, and so will you. I believe under the Spirit's teaching, desire to be made conformable unto his death. There he set the example, gone through death to glory. Oh, you must follow in that way he's appointed, and take up your cross and follow him. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Okay. collections last Lord's Day were £690, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. John Hart will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. Hymn 956.
sake of thee do cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love our services this day, anything that is not of the Holy Spirit's working, we beg. Oh, we beg thee, bless thy word, bless thy people, feed them also and lift them up forever. Help us, Lord, we may live unto thee. Oh, we beg, Lord, help us day by day. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.